time now for NHL Hour with Bill Clement and Commissioner Gary Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM 204.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Gary Bettman. I'm joined in our studio, the NHL Store, powered by Reebok, by Bill Clement. We're going to take your calls. We're going to answer your emails. And I'm going to chat with Paul Kelly, the executive director of the National Hockey League Players Association, all during the NHL Hour on XM 204 and NHL.com.
Welcome back to NHL Hour with Bill Clement, NHL Home Ice, XM 204.
And the NHL Hour is underway. We are live from the NHL Store, powered by Reebok, on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, as well as NHL.com. Gary Bettman getting ready to answer your questions, read your emails. The phone number is 877-NHL on XM. That is 877-645-6696. The email address is NHLHour at NHL.com. Lots to talk about before we get to the serious stuff, like All-Star and the Brian Leetch ceremony tonight. How's your week been?
Oh, my week has been a blur, but it always is leading into All-Star. And games have been good. Races remain exciting for the playoffs.
Unreal.
And I think people are feeling good about the game this time of year.
I think they are, too. I know the Rangers, I've been sitting here looking at the Brian Leetch T-shirts and jerseys just flying off the racks. Every second person that walks in the store has a jersey on and comes in and buys something else. You're going to be at the Brian Leetch ceremony tonight?
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss it. Madison Square Garden is always a fun place to be on a special night. The crowd, the fans are terrific, and I know that people in this city remember, you know, the days and nights you remember in life where significant events happen, and most New Yorkers remember where they were on that June night in 1994 when the Rangers won the Cup after 54 years, and obviously, in addition to Mark Messier, Brian Leetch was a huge part of that.
Oh. Was unbelievable. What do you remember most about Brian Leetch as a player? When you think of Brian Leetch as a player, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm typical, but he was solid.
That's okay. You're the commish.
I'm a fan too. He was solid, he was steady, and he was a creative offensive power. He could, cause a goal to be scored as well as anybody on the ice.
And how well did you know Brian personally? Or maybe I should say, of all of those guys on the 94 Cup team that ended the 54-year drought, who did you know the best, or do you know the best personally?
I think I know Mark the best personally. We've done a little bit of traveling together to Stanley Cup final games. We've been at a lot of events together. He's so charitably minded in this area, even at Hackensack Hospital. So I probably have gotten to spend more time with him than anyone else. Although Adam Graves is another one,
class,
who comes to mind as well.
I really maintain that it's hard to win a championship without at least a sizable portion of your roster comprised of people that just exude class. And that Rangers team is no exception.
Actually, the biggest omission and the guy who I probably spend the most time with and I don't know why I blocked that out of my mind, is Kevin Lowe.
Oh, well, yeah. On a professional level now, you get to communicate with Kevin regularly.
Absolutely. And like everybody else on that team, he was a class act and is. Although Brian Burke got mad at him a little bit this summer.
You think? Yeah. Well, we can do a whole show on that. Speaking of,
let's not and say we did.
Speaking of passion and speaking of communication, the phone board is alive. So let's go to the callers right away.
Let's do that. Mark in St. Paul, welcome to the NHL Hour on XM 204. What do you want to talk about?
Well, thank you, Commissioner. It's an honor to talk to you and Billy. And I'd keep a tight eye on him. He used to be on the Flyers, So,
actually, he has to keep a tight eye on me because they were in a little bit of a panic here. I walked into the studio 10 seconds before I did the opening promo, and I think I needed to bring some towels to wipe off the sweat.
That, by the way, Mark, that, he's telling the truth.
It's not an exaggeration, but that's the advantage of having the store and the studio in the same building that our offices are in. I'm not sure if that's an advantage or disadvantage. If the elevator had made one more stop on the way down, I wouldn't have made it. Anyway, Mark, that's not why you called. What can we do for you?
I'll give you some rapid fire here. I grew up on West 7th Street in St. Paul, and I've been an NHL fan since 1960. Watched farm team of the Rangers when I was a kid, the St. Paul Rangers. Then, of course, we had the North Stars, the Fighting Saints, the Wild, and we've always had the magnificent Golden Gophers. But I am a hockey maniac. So a couple things for you. I had to work on New Year's Day, and while I got to listen to the Winter Classic on XM Radio, I didn't get to see it.
It was a good show. It was a good show on radio, wasn't it, Mark?
Well, you know what? It was as good as I could envision it without having a tube in front of me. But one thing I'd like to offer to you, Commissioner, is that the league, for all the teams' Suvi shops and your NHL.com souvenirs, you guys should put that out on DVD. For sure. I would buy a copy. Second of all, I've heard a lot of talk about making the nets bigger, changing the goaltenders, the equipment sizes, and what have you. I would encourage you not to do that. I think if you were to look at the average scores of games from the 40s through today, they outside of maybe some of the 70s and 80s, they probably haven't changed a great deal. Hockey is, to me, it's always going to be a 2-1 or a 4-3 or a 6-5 game. I'm not sure if more scoring is going to pull more non-traditional fans into the game. Next of all, the University of Minnesota in 2010 will have a brand new outdoor football stadium operable. So let me be amongst the first to lobby for a outdoor Winter Classic for the Wild in the Twin Cities. That would be fantastic. And last of all, Commissioner, I often hear this a lot of talk about perception of how well is the NHL doing or not doing. And I think you would say yourself that based on revenues and attendance and all that, that the league's probably never been doing better. Yet the league constantly gets compared to the NFL and MLB and the NBA. And because it might not have the same numbers or TV exposure, people are quick to say, oh, it's not doing as well and blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you what, you couldn't pay me to go to an NFL game right now at their ticket prices to watch a 60-minute game with 10 minutes of where something's actually happening. You can have it, and it's doggone near unwatchable on TV anymore.
Well, let me begin to respond, and first of all, I want to thank you because it is clear that you're a great fan, and we're always thankful for people to be as passionate about the game as you are. I had to make notes because my memory as I get older is failing me. With respect to the outdoor game, the NHL Network showed it a number of times in reruns, so I would respectfully suggest anybody who is interested in getting all things hockey all the time, subscribe to the NHL Network, talk to your cable provider or satellite provider, and sign up for it. It is available. You have to sign up for it in many cases, but it's available, I believe, in virtually every major cable system and satellite provider in North America. Secondly, with the goaltenders, we're not looking to do anything rash. You're absolutely right that goal scoring goes up and down. It's really more about the flow of the game and scoring chances than it is about the absolute number of goals scored. The first year back from the work stoppage, we were a little over 6 goals a game, but we were calling a ton of penalties, mainly power play goals making the difference. We started to settle in last year at about 5.9. This year we're at 5.6 goals a game. And, you know, would as an aesthetic matter, would I like to see a little bit more, a couple of tenths of a goal a game, perhaps. But if we do make any changes, they'll be tweaking, although I do believe everybody thinks the goaltenders can get smaller because they're too big. Finally, it's great to know that there are fans who think we're number one, certainly in their hearts. We are doing well, and we do get criticized, but I'm not paranoid or a martyr about that. All sports have their critics. My guess is because of the four majors, we're not followed in the mainstream media by as many of the other sports, so we're more apt to get criticized. If you don't know something, you tend to take the least common denominator in dealing with it. That's not a complaint. It's an observation, and the guys who don't cover us as well or criticize us sometimes when they don't generally cover us at all will be the first to admit it. Having said that, to be in the same company and be compared with the other sports is not a bad thing, and we are stronger than we've ever been. That doesn't mean we don't have more work that we can be doing. That doesn't mean we don't have to strive every day to make the game better. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be satisfying our fans to the best of our ability every day, because we should be and we try to be, and we're going to continue to try and grow and be better. But first and foremost, we want our fans, our current fans, to be happy with our game.
Are the Vikings still in the league? I was just wondering how anybody could pay Mark to go to a football. Oh, the Vikings are still in the league. I'm sorry.
Was that an attempt at humor?
No, it was idle chatter sitting over here. I'm still in a tizzy from you breezing in 8 seconds before showtime.
Well, if I'm not in a tizzy, you shouldn't be.
No, I'm ready to go. I was going to do the open for you.
Thank you. Sean in Salt Lake City, what can we do for you? Welcome to XM204.
Thanks, Commissioner. I just wondered if you could give us kind of how hockey operations in terms of TV work. I mean, more specifically, I was reading an article on ESPN.com from John Butchergrass, and I'm interviewing John Shannon about the NHL Network, and I subscribe to the NHL Center Ice and the network, and I don't see a lot of the regional carriers kind of helping promote the NHL Network, just like the last caller not knowing, the rerun availability for the Winter Classic. So I'm wondering, is there any, can you explain or give us a little idea of how the partnership works in terms of TV coverage, getting their support to help market it? And then secondly, same thing with respect to NBC. I know that, we had a couple weeks before back to sort of, the traditional regular season run, and then of course we have the All-Star break coming up, and I'm wondering if that all had a hindrance on last game's ratings. But I'm wondering if you could kind of share, do you guys get with NBC and kind of talk about what we could have done differently to make to kind of help keep the TV ratings moving, or kind of debrief? And I'll take the comments off the line.
Thanks for calling in. Absolutely, we talk to NBC and Versus on a regular basis. We work very closely with NBC in making the outdoor game on January 1st a reality. They were great, as was Bob Costas, in terms of the type of coverage and the commitment that they made to the game. Last week's game was interesting because, as I think many of you know, we now have a flex schedule. We schedule three or four games on a Sunday, and then we move one into the NBA and the NHL slot on NBC. And as a result, we try to pick the best game. What I think the most interesting thing I can say about last week is both markets of what was a very good matchup, Boston and the Rangers, I think the fans, sports fans, were distracted by something else that was going on that day. There was intense competition for the NFL championship games. So to make a long story short, it's something that we work on. Cross-promotion, the regionals don't necessarily have an incentive to promote into the NHL network because we're all vying for eyeballs, but we do have our institutional spots, and we're using NHL.com and our other resources to let our fans know what's going on. If you want to know what the television picture is for any given day or any given week, go to NHL.com, and all that information is laid out for you on the schedule, both regional and national coverage, both in Canada and in the United States. Let's go to our next caller, Ron in San Jose. Thanks for calling. You're on XM204.
Thank you very much for taking the call, Mr. Bippin. Quick question regards to the CBA. What are we doing now, or what's going on behind the scenes now to make sure that that we've got a ratified CBA prior to it going into any type of situation that we had last time? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you very much.
Well, what we're doing is we're working very hard to continue to grow the game and grow revenues. I think we're cooperating in our partnership with the players better than ever before. But also, if you were to ask, and Paul Kelly will be on with me shortly, the executive director of the National Hockey League Players Association, I think he's still meeting with the clubs and going through a learning curve, getting comfortable with what he needs to know before the union can make any decisions. My hope is that we continue to improve how we work together, because I think the game will be better for it. And my hope is that the collective bargaining difficulties of the past are something that stay in the past. Nobody, especially and including me, enjoys a work stoppage. And frankly, it's tough medicine for a game. It's tough medicine for the people that work at the game. And most importantly, it's tough medicine for our fans. So we're going to work very hard to try and make sure that this is a system that's working well and fairly for everybody, because we don't want to have to go through something like that again. Why don't we take Jeremy in Nashville? Thanks for calling. You're on XM 204. What can we do for you?
Yes, Commissioner. I was asking, the Dish packet, or I have Dish Network and the Center Ice package, and every time I call Dish to ask about getting the NHL Network, they always tell me they don't have it. Is it on Dish Network? And if it is, I don't know why they're not telling me that. And I'll just hang up and listen to your comments off air. Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. My understanding is it's available on Dish, and I can't tell you why people at Dish are suggesting you can't get the network. We will, when I get off the air, make a phone call and follow up and make sure we have all of our ducks in a row. So I can't explain it, but we're certainly going to look into it. Mike in Indianapolis, you're on XM 204. Thank you for calling. What can we talk to you about?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good.
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. I have talk about the All-Star game, and I have two different questions that are sort of related. The first one is, who determines who the replacements will be for NHL starters who decide not to attend the game?
What we do is, after the fans select the starters, hockey operations led by Colin Campbell talks to the general managers on all the teams, and we try to put together the best, most competitive, most all-star representative teams in both conferences. And when somebody gets injured or somebody for personal reasons has to withdraw, we then look at who would be next on the list in terms of both team and position to make sure we're going to round out the teams and have an entertaining game.
All right. Well, my second question has to do with one of the replacements. And, Mike, I'll get all this off my chest first, that I am in no way an Anaheim Ducks fan. However, I do have some respect for Niedermeyer, and I was kind of wondering, after only playing, I believe it's only 13 games before the All-Star selection was made, how in the world did he get selected to replace, whoever dropped out? And there's a couple other candidates in the Western Conference that I was kind of wondering why they didn't get the nod. I'll just go ahead and hang up and let you guys answer that for me. Thank you.
That's a fair question, and I know as Coley Campbell was going through his analysis, keep in mind that Scott Niedermeyer, great player, won the Conn Smythe last year in the playoffs, didn't play much. He wasn't selected by the fans to be a starter. He wasn't selected in the first batch. But in terms of replacing a player who wasn't able to play, there's no doubt that he is an all-star caliber player. And my guess is whatever he felt he needed to do the beginning of this season, he's back with a vengeance. He's clearly passionate about playing again. And I think he definitely falls into the category of being a true all-star.
No doubt.
Even if he didn't start at the beginning of the season. That's something that it's hard to question what sometimes motivates somebody. I have the utmost respect for the decisions he made. And frankly, it's good that he's back. I know the Ducks are happy. By the way, the NHL Network is on Dish Channel 403 for those of you who have the Dish Network.
Instant information. We appreciate all of the callers hanging with us. Stay on hold. We have to step out. We also expect the executive director of the NHLPA, the Players Association, Paul Kelly, joining us shortly. When we come back, more calls, more emails. Gary Bettman ready to answer your questions on the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice XM 204 and NHL.com.
Number two in your program, number one in the hearts of New York Rangers fans everywhere. Brian Leetch Day on NHL Home Ice, XM 204.
And welcome back to the NHL Hour. The phone number again, 877-NHL on XM. The email address is nhlhour@nhl.com. Hang in there in a few minutes. We'll get back to the calls and the emails. But right now, as advertised, Gary, the man that you have a partnership with is on the phone.
Paul Kelly, welcome. We're delighted you could join us.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the invitation.
October 24th, 3 months ago today, was a news conference in Toronto announcing you as the new executive director. Happy anniversary. And what exactly, for our listeners, does the executive director of the National Hockey League Players Association do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, obviously, I represent all the players of the NHL and our members on a variety of matters, as you know, collective bargaining, insurance-related matters, health and safety, and the like. And on a daily basis, it's probably not unlike your day, Gary, which is a number of issues come across the desk. That is, if I'm sitting at the desk, which I haven't been doing much of over the past 3 months. I've been on the road quite a bit visiting with the teams. But, you know, dealing with anything from events that occurred in games the night before or the weekend before to dealing with international issues, coming from the NHL and obviously a fair amount of marketing, licensing, business-related matters, our efforts to grow the game, working together with you and your club owners. So it's a wide variety on the menu, but it's enjoyable as well.
You mentioned that you've been traveling North America extensively, meeting with the clubs. You go into a city and you'll sit down with the players on a team. What has been the mood that you've sensed, and have there been any surprises in terms of the things that they've been talking to you about?
Yeah, well, for the benefit of the listeners, what we do is we have what we call a fall tour, and we visit with each of the 30 clubs. You know, the meetings run anywhere from an hour and 15 minutes until, or about to up to about 2 hours. You know, we do it in a very conversational, interactive way. We kind of address some current events and things that are happening around the league. We address some issues that are important to the players and their families, everything to do with medical issues, drug testing issues, pension-related issues. But the interactive portion is really we talk to them about a number of matters that are kind of in front of us that we need to come to some understanding and unified position on, and many of those have to do with possible rules changes, equipment adjustments, scheduling matters, and we basically have a give and take. We encourage the guys to kind of speak their mind, express their opinions. Part of what we're doing is, frankly, trying to increase the communication between and among players and between players and the association, trying to gain some trust on the part of the players, trying to bring a cohesiveness to the Players Association back. We want them to feel good about their association, that we're out here working hard for them, looking after their interests, short-term and long-term. So that's the point of the meetings. The mood has been very positive. The players are interested, engaged. You know, they're anxious to be active. We've had a number of guys volunteer to serve as player reps, to serve as committee members, to we've got some summer meetings scheduled, and we've had a very good response to those from the players. So I sense a real positive energy from the players, which has been very encouraging, frankly.
Have you gotten a sense as to how the players feel about the game on the ice, and are there one or two areas that seem to have captivated the most amount of attention with respect to the game on the ice?
I mean, I think for the most part the players are pretty pleased with the state of the game on the ice at present. You know, it's a long season, as we all know. It's a grueling sport. You know, we're past the halfway point. You know, when I sit down with these young elite athletes, I see guys with you know, with bruises and scars, and a certain element of fatigue sets in. But I think that the guys, they like the fact that there's a good deal of competitive balance in the league, a lot of parity. They like good, hard, competitive games, which we seem to be having night after night. If anything, I sense that the guys, there's a bit of concern about the number of injuries that each and every club appears to have, where they've had to, dip into some of the minor club rosters to help them get through a certain portion of the season. The loss of a couple of key players, such as Patrice Bergeron up in Boston, is a concern. If that reflects, an increase in aggressiveness on the ice or a decrease in respect on the ice, which is the view on the part of some players, that's a bit of a concern. But overall, I think the players are pretty optimistic, and it's a young, athletic, great group of guys, and they just love playing the sport.
What do you think your and the association's number one priority is over the next year?
I think it first and foremost, I think it falls under the heading of communication. I think it's gaining the trust of the players, introducing the players to some of the issues and priorities that I think are important, listening to them and trying to appreciate what's important to them, making them feel part of their association, leading them to conclude that we're really there to help them, which we are. Just bringing back that sense of interest, enthusiasm, and cohesiveness as a group. I think that's probably our number one priority. Number two, I would say it's doing whatever we can as an association to help grow the revenues of the sport generally, not only for the benefit of the players, but frankly for the benefit of the clubs and for the benefit of the fans. That is to do our part to as a group of players to be more creative, to perhaps be more accessible, to understand that this is a sport, but it's also entertainment. So we obviously want to grow this game to expand our audience, not just in North America but elsewhere. That's really what we're about.
I get asked a lot, and I'm sure you do, about whether or not the association is going to reopen the collective bargaining agreement when the association, has the option after next season. I'm not going to ask you that question because obviously you can't or wouldn't answer it now, and I wouldn't put you on the spot. But I think it might be helpful for people who are focused on it for you to describe the process that you and the association are going to have to go through to make the decision as to whether or not the collective bargaining agreement continues or it gets reopened.
I mean, as an association, we really only exist to carry forward what the players want. And so while we have a staff of close to 50 people and we have a lot of highly talented and skilled people as working in marketing and communications and licensing and legal, et cetera, I mean, we really are employees of the players, and we're here to do what the players want us to do. And so what that means when you come to any issue, and collective bargaining is just one example, we need to take an opportunity at the end of an appropriate season or at a break in a season to gather with the players and to review where we are, review issues, find out if there are things that concern them. Once we get those issues and concerns out on the table, we evaluate whether or not they are sufficient that we should take a certain action, such as, reopening a CBA. As you suggest correctly, it's way too early to take any position relative to that matter. We have not had such a meeting or such a dialogue with the players. We will at the appropriate time, and whatever direction the majority of players wish us to follow, that's what we will do.
Speaking of issues, you and I recently attended a meeting with Rene Fazel in the International Ice Hockey Federation and five of the national governing bodies over the transfer agreement. Maybe you could share the association's perspective on, first of all, the importance of having a transfer agreement, what it means to the players, and secondly, how did you think the meeting went? Do you think this is going to get remedied, or are we going to be without an agreement going forward?
Well, first and foremost, I think it is important to have a transfer agreement in place. I think it's important for all the parties concerned, meaning players, the international federations, the NHL, the member clubs of the NHL, because without a transfer agreement, quite frankly, we're in this wide open free market system, and I think that that is not a healthy thing for international relations in our sport generally. And if we're going to have future international events, including the Olympics, I think we ought to have good relations with our partners from Sweden and Finland and Czech Republic and the other members of the IIHF. So I do think a transfer agreement is important. We've had one for a number of years. It appears to be, for better or for worse, working reasonably well. I mean, I think both sides have some issues with the existing transfer agreement and how it's played out. I went over to the Czech Republic and spent a fair amount of time talking with the various member federations to hear from them directly what some of their concerns were. Generally, I would say their concerns were that they were losing a larger number of their younger players earlier than had been the case in the past, and that these young players were coming over to North America, being signed by NHL clubs, but rather than finding their way onto the active NHL rosters, were being sent down to minor league clubs, and that the various sport federations, their view is that rather than have a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old playing for some club, minor league club in Canada or in the United States, they would much prefer to have that young player back at their home country for another year or two, which is better for their club. It helps them sell tickets and arrange for sponsorship deals. They also feel that they can help to better develop the player. There is some disagreement about that, respectfully, between the international federations and some of the NHL clubs. So they have genuine issues. I mean, from my perspective, I think I share the view of the NHL, which is that we want hockey to be strong all around the world. I mean, we want ice hockey in all of these various countries to be strong. We want young people to be participating in the sport. We want them to come up as strong, talented players. There are only a small elite class of players that have the necessary skills to play in the best league in the world, which is the NHL. I think the various federations want their best young players to play in the NHL. We certainly want that feeder system to exist. So we don't want to take measures which undermines the success of hockey in places like Europe and Russia and elsewhere. So from that standpoint, it's important for us to talk and communicate and see if we can resolve these issues. I thought the meeting went pretty well, all things considered. We need more time to study these important issues. I think the fact that the parties are, I think, in a position to reach an interim agreement, which is reasonable and practical, is a positive sign. It did require some flexibility on the part of the Players Association, subject to the approval of the players, which we will address shortly. But overall, I thought it was a positive meeting.
We're listening to Paul Kelly on XM 204, the executive director of the National Hockey League Players Association. Paul, let me ask you one more question, and then we'll let you go. I think we both share the vision of wanting a game that's as strong and as popular as possible. What do you think, as a preliminary matter, not necessarily on behalf of the Players Association, what do you think the role of expansion is, either in North America or internationally in Europe in that regard?
Well, number one, I think that we do need to look at, kind of the globalization of our game. The players and I have talked about this issue. The players support opening our season this past year in London and in future seasons in other cities around the world. We want to bring our game to the worldwide community because we have a great game, and if that increases our viewership and our interest level, that's something we should do. I think that the notion of possibly having NHL teams one day in Europe is obviously still some years away. They simply don't have the rink sizes and the like to accommodate our game at this point. But I think down the road it's something that we should consider. I think that the world is getting smaller with travel and the like, and there is a reservoir of real interest for the game of hockey in different parts of the world, certainly over in Europe, and we need to be mindful of that. That said, at the present moment, have not been presented with any proposal, as you know, Gary, from the NHL relative to expansion. We are not out there in favor of expansion. We're quite comfortable with the size of the league at the present time. I was misquoted or taken out of context, I should say, in a recent article where one would have read the articles that appeared last week to be that I favored expansion and that I favored expansion into Canada. I didn't say that. I said that I didn't favor expansion. I think we should spend our time and energy on getting our existing franchises healthy, and but that if there was going to be expansion at some point in the future, I think we should certainly consider the Canadian cities, because the Canadian franchises that we currently have been very strong and very successful. They get great attendance, great television. And the fans in Canada obviously revere this sport. But that said, we, as we will with every issue, when at the appropriate time the owners present us with a proposal or a plan, we will consider it. We will consider it fairly. We will consider it reasonably, and we will respond appropriately. And I'm sure the day will come that they will ask us about the subject of expansion, and at that point we'll discuss it with the players and we'll give you our response.
Sounds right to me. Paul, thank you for being with us, and I look forward to seeing you in Atlanta. It should be a fun weekend.
Thank you, Gary, and Bill, nice to talk to you briefly, and I look forward to seeing you as well.
Paul, look forward to seeing you in Atlanta. Thanks for being with us.
Take care. Bye-bye, gentlemen.
What a refreshing gentleman! His candor is so refreshing, and we could spend 2 hours talking to Paul Kelly right now. I wanted to get a chance to ask him about reopening the CBA in a physical sense, actually opening the document, because he was quoted in the Buffalo News 3 weeks ago as saying, "It's an impossible thing to read. It's a horrible thing. I was a lawyer for 27 years, and this thing is just lawyered to death." How long is the CBA, the document itself? How many pages, Gary?
I think it's around 400 pages.
400 pages.
It was a carefully constructed document.
Oh, I understand.
After months and months of negotiation.
I can understand. And for most people, it would be the sleeping pill after about page four, because it has to be full of legalese. That's just the nature of a legal document. I mean,
But the other point you make is Paul's been very, really good to deal with. We've had candid, open discussions. We've spent a lot of time together. As he indicated, we had a pretty good meeting with the international fellows, and I think what we needed to accomplish, we being the Players Association and the league, I think we work very well together, and I hope and think that bodes well for the future.
The two things that stuck out, there were two words that Paul Kelly said that were big for me. Entertainment, that the players understand and continuing to understand that this is not only a sport, but it's entertainment. And he mentioned the word access. I worked for years in the television industry, and pre-new CBA, pre-lockout, access at times was good, at times was very difficult. There seems to be a really concerted effort on the players' part to give access to the different media outlets. And with Paul Kelly on board, it appears as if that access might even increase, and that's, I believe, what the fans want.
Well, and I think access comes from greater cooperation,
sure,
as between the clubs and the league and the players, and I think we're seeing much more of that than we've seen in recent history.
Speaking of cooperation, our callers have cooperated immensely by staying on hold. We're going to step out and get back to the calls and the emails on the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM204 and NHL.com.
This is XM's Bob Edwards. Welcome to the XM Nation, Commissioner. Now back to the NHL Hour with Gary Bettman.
And welcome back, Bill Clement with Gary Bettman. We want to try to cram in as many of your calls as we can. Keep your questions short, and we'll see what we can do. Gary, fire away.
George on Staten Island, welcome to XM 204 in the NHL Hour. What can we do for you?
Pleasure, Bill. Pleasure to talk to you, Mr. Bettman. I have to make it quick. So if there are any changes that have been made and what I'd like to see made is you did the entertainment value with the shootout. I've accepted it. I enjoy it. And now if you could get these goalies to look more like goalies instead of billboards with coat hangers in their shoulders, I'd like to see more realistic looking instead of these big Jugunda looking guys.
You're absolutely right.
A Jugunda is a terrible thing.
Well,
to look
but
at,
we understand with that. That's a
sure.
term for New Yorkers,
of course.
Of which I'm one, born and bred. But the fact of the matter is, we have to take a look, and we're going to take a look in cooperation with the Players Association at the size of the goalies. We don't want them to get hurt, but the purpose of their equipment is not to protect the net from a puck going in. It's to keep them from getting injured. And it's clear that the equipment's gotten larger and the goaltenders themselves have gotten larger, so there's less open net to shoot at. It is on our list of things to focus on. Nick in Massachusetts, XM 204, you're with Bill and Gary.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say a few things, Gary. I think you're doing a great job with the league. Even though a lot of my friends criticize you, I think the parity and all the teams are doing really well. And actually, Bill, I'm going to let you get a couple words in. I bet my buddies, they're diehard Bruins fans, 2 12-packs on how well the Flyers are actually going to do over the Bruins. And I was wondering how you think about the Flyers. You know, what position you think they'll finish in, and do you think they'll finish higher than the Bruins this year? I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks a lot, guys.
What brand did you promise them? If it's a sponsor, then I'm on your side. Listen, the Flyers are a resurgent team. The Bruins and the Flyers are both fantastic stories, especially with the job that Claude Julien's doing behind the Bruins bench. The Flyers, though, are remarkable. To go from 30th to where they are, that would be a heck of a tussle because the Bruins can make fast teams look slow with their defensive style. I'm going to stay in the middle. Just bet the 12-pack, send the other 12-pack to me.
I want to know which of his friends criticize me.
Yeah, get them to call, right?
Hey, listen, you know what? In this business, people are going to be passionate about the game. And to do what I do for a living or any of the commissioners of the other sports, if you're overly sensitive or sensitive at all to criticism, you need to be doing something else. What you need to be doing is what you think is right and let the chips fall where they may. Robin in Ohio, you're on XM 204.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Mr. Bettman, we really need your help. As a Dish customer, I know what's going on. They only brought the National Hockey League Network in for HD customers. So all our standard receivers don't get it.
Actually, you now jog something in my memory, and they had the capacity to launch us in HD, and at some point in the not-too-distant future, it may be for the start of next season, you'll be able to get it in standard definition. That's exactly right. Thank you for helping us answer the question. I had done a brain cramp and forgot that. We went first in HD on Dish, but it'll be on standard soon enough. Leo in Los Angeles, you're on XM 204.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Mr. Bettman, it's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you. Bill, I think you're a great commentator.
Thank you.
I think he's a great commentator, too.
Yes, I really do like him with the doctor much more than any other two-tandem commentating group. But my question is, why has Henrik Lundqvist been passed over for an All-Star nod since he was second in voting to Martin Brodeur, and since Marty Brodeur will not be playing, my second question that I was thinking of while I was on the phone is why isn't the NHL All-Star game played outdoors? Maybe we would get a bigger following of people. And I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you.
The question on Lundqvist, I think, has to do with the fact that fan voting really only determines the starters. And then after that, hockey operations, I believe, as I explained before, in conjunction with the general managers, tries to fill out the team. And it's a balancing act because while we want genuine all-stars, we also try to have all teams represented. The Rangers are adequately and ably represented, and the other guys, DiPietro, Vokoun, and Thomas are all having terrific seasons. And so when trying to balance the all-star lineup, it's never easy. There's never a shortage of debate, and I think that's part of the fun of it. An all-star game outside, as we look forward to the possibility of future All-Star games. We're considering a variety of scenarios, although I think one of the things that made January 1st, the Winter Classic, so terrific was that it was a real live game. It counted in the standings. David in Boston, welcome to XM 204.
Hi, Commissioner. Hi, Bill. I'd just like to say two things real quickly. Number one, my niece in Florida, who's never been to a hockey game, is hooked. Keep up the attitude that hockey will work in the South.
Take her to a game.
I will. And number two, what about the chances of Hartford in the NHL again?
Well, as Paul Kelly discussed and as I've discussed previously, we're not looking to relocate. We're not looking to expand. If we do either of those, we'll consider every possibility, although nobody's come to us recently to want a team in Hartford. The economy's had some issues there, and they probably need a new building if they ever wanted another major league team.
All-Star Weekend coming up. Enjoy it on Versus in the U.S., Hockey Night in Canada, North of the Border, wall-to-wall coverage on NHL Radio, Westwood 1, XM 204, NHL.com, and the NHL Network. Gary and Bill will be back at you next week, Thursday, 4 Eastern.